Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Text our sermon this morning is taken from John chapter 16, beginning in verse 5. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, "Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." This is the gospel of our Lord. Pentecost is an exciting day in the history of the Christian church. It's called the birthday of the Christian church. It's one of the three major festivals in our Christian church year. It's right up there with Christmas and Easter. We got Pentecost. To see the disciples go from kind of afraid after Jesus' resurrection and his ascension back to heaven, to see the boldness and the confidence with which they preach the gospel in Jerusalem, that's exciting. That's encouraging for us. To hear the statistics, at the end of Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people were baptized, brought to faith on the day of Pentecost. That's a great mission festival for us to hear about today. But we also understand that the day of Pentecost was greatly needed by these disciples. Because before it happened, there was uncertainty, there were questions. As we see them in the gospel lesson for this morning, there was fear and anxiety. Their hearts were troubled. They needed Pentecost. They needed Pentecost because they needed to be reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit. They needed to be reminded of Jesus' work. And that's what the Holy Spirit would do. Jesus called him the Counselor. He would remind the disciples of all that Christ had done, and he would also go with them as they carried the gospel into the world. Pentecost is exciting. It's always exciting to hear about the work of the Holy Spirit, but it's also needed. It's needed by God's people still today. It's needed by each of us because we need to be reminded of Jesus' work, and we need to know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the day before Jesus died. It's the night that the disciples would all abandon him after one of their own betrayed Jesus. They would deny him. Before that happened, Jesus celebrated the Passover with them. And they're together in this upper room, and Jesus knows their hearts. He knows what's in our hearts, and he recognized the anxiety in their hearts, and Jesus said to them, "I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Why are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." The disciples had a lot of questions that night. Jesus had been telling them many things, but their hearts were so filled with grief that they had a hard time actually formulating a question to ask Jesus. And when he did talk to them, when he kind of answered the questions they should have been asking, they weren't really listening. Their hearts were filled with grief. I think there's a part of us that can really empathize with what the disciples were going through because we know what was going to happen to them. We know how they were going to see that mob arrest Jesus, and we understand that the next day they would see their Savior crucified. That was a hard time for them spiritually. But yet there is a part of us that looks at those disciples and said, "But you had Jesus sitting right there with you. You had the Word of God coming from God Himself. Why were your hearts so troubled?" But then we realize and remember again that that happens to our hearts. We get troubled. We need reminders of Jesus' work. We got a very clear mission that our Savior has entrusted to us. As Christians today, it is extremely obvious to us what we should be doing as the people of God. The mission statement that we've adopted at Abiding Word Lutheran Church is printed in your service folder each week, and it says this: Abiding Word Lutheran Church is men, women, and children united in faith and worship for the purpose of reaching out with the gospel to win the lost for Christ and to nurture believers for lives of Christian service, all to the glory of God. That mission statement is very biblical. That mission statement is clear. But when we think about our life according to that mission statement, we might find a little bit of grief. Our hearts can be troubled. Because we recognize that worshiping together, studying the Word of God together, and doing ministry together is sometimes hard to always be united together. We know about conflicts. We know about division. And we think about the idea of unity and worship and mission. Sometimes our hearts break because we don't always have it. When we think about reaching the lost for Christ, reaching out with that gospel, we recognize sometimes we're pretty apathetic about it. I'll get around to it. When we consider the mission that Jesus has given us, we often find ourselves just like those disciples. Our hearts filled with grief because of our sin, because of our failures to carry out these very simple and very clear directives that Jesus has given us. We just don't follow through. So we need the Holy Spirit. As his disciples were filled with grief, as their hearts were troubled, Jesus said, "It's good for you that I'm going away. It's good for you that I'm going, because unless I go, I tell you the truth, the Holy Spirit won't come." Those disciples needed Jesus to leave them that night. They needed Jesus to be betrayed. They needed him to be arrested, put on trial, convicted, and executed because they needed a Savior. It was good for them that Jesus was going away. And the truth is, he would send the Holy Spirit to remind them of all the work Jesus had done for them. And the truth is, that same Holy Spirit gives us those same reminders through word and sacrament. Every time we gather as a family of believers around the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is here reminding us of Jesus' work, reminding us that it was good that he left the disciples that night. It was good that he suffered for our sin and that he rose in victory. It's good for us to know that, because being reminded of Jesus' work is what drives us out into the world. So it makes it Pentecost every day. On that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit blew through that building and the tongues of fire were on the head, the disciples went out into Jerusalem with spiritual gifts. They spoke in real languages to the people gathered there. And again, it's exciting to see those results. 3,000 people came to faith on the day of Pentecost. That's just incredible. But it's just as incredible and just as encouraging when Pentecost is seen in your own life. Because it's not about the numbers of people that come to faith. We're not talking about statistics to prove the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are talking about the people of God who have been reminded about Jesus, taking that message to the world. It's fun. This past Tuesday night, I was with a couple members of our congregation at a nearby restaurant. And as we sat at the table, the waitress came up and took our order. And she came back and then she started talking to us and she said, "What line of work are you all in? Oil and gas?" And I'm like, "What? I haven't been here that long to get that." And none of us were in oil and gas. And so she starts talking and asking us different questions, and our occupations are all they're varied. And she got to me and she said, "Real estate?" I said, "No." And she guessed a while. And finally, I pulled up my wallet and got one of my business cards and handed it to her. She looked at it and she said, "Pastor?" Like, yep. It was interesting. We hadn't had the opportunity to tell her about our church and invite her to worship. She went back inside and came back out and she said, "Well, since you're a pastor and since you guys go to church, I got a Bible question for you." And we spent probably 5-10 minutes answering her question. And in doing that, we got to share law and gospel. We got to talk about Jesus and the freedom that we have in Jesus and invite her to church again. It was Pentecost. Right? The Holy Spirit reminding us four members of our congregation of Jesus and then taking that message out. And you don't have to have a card in your wallet that says pastor to be able to preach the gospel. Because you're praying about opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Every time in the Lord's Prayer, and you'll do it this morning when we say, your kingdom come and your will be done, you are asking that God would use you to carry the message of the gospel to the world. So expect that he just might give you the opportunity to share your faith. Remember, it's Pentecost. Remember, you know Jesus and what he's done for you, and you get to tell people about it. That kind of work is exciting. It's fun to do. It's not really work. It's just who we are as the people of God. But doing that work can also be frustrating. It can be a real challenge. We face obstacles as we do it. Disciples did too. That first Christian church in Jerusalem was a neat place, but they had a boatload of problems. They had divisions. They had disunity. They had lying and stealing going on. All kinds of problems. But it was Pentecost every day for them because they had the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised and then sent that Holy Spirit to remind them of all that Christ had done and to work powerfully through their preaching. Listen again to how Jesus describes the work of the Spirit. He said, when he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The work of the Holy Spirit is to convict or convince the world. We cannot convince anyone the truth of the gospel. We cannot convince anyone to believe in Jesus. That's beyond our ability. The Holy Spirit alone does that work. He does it through the Word of God. He convinces or convicts people of sin. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and we talked about it as kind of the strange or alien work of the Holy Spirit. But one of the things he did, and Vicar mentioned it this morning, is uses that Word of God to show us our sin. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached specifically to those people in Jerusalem, "You crucified Christ." We may not always get that specific with people, but we talk about the clear message of God's law, and the Holy Spirit uses it to convict us of sin. And then he convinces us of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. Because Jesus went to the Father, because Jesus completed his work of salvation and won the forgiveness of sins for the world, he convinces us that that forgiveness, it's ours. And he brings it to us. Through the Word, in a few moments through the sacrament, he brings us that righteousness of Christ, not as our effort, not as our work, but as it truly is a gift of God. And he convinces us that the prince of this world, the devil himself, has been condemned. On Easter Sunday, Jesus rose. Sometime after that resurrection, he made alive and went and preached. Not in this world, but he went and preached to the spirits in prison. To those people in hell who had rejected him, and to the devil himself, whose head Jesus had just crushed. The prince of this world stands defeated. The Holy Spirit brings that powerful message to each of us and through us to the world. It's good for us to recall just how powerful it is. The power was obvious on Pentecost, 3,000 people. But again, it's not about the numbers. It's not about statistics. There are some people who think that that 3,000 number might actually have been a little bit small. Because there could have been, for this festival, upwards of 300,000 Jews gathered in Jerusalem. 3,000 out of 300,000? That might not be that successful. But it's not about the numbers. It's about getting the gospel out and knowing that the Holy Spirit is at work. It's about us preaching the message of Christ crucified and remembering what that message did for us and knowing that we are carrying that same power to the world. It's good to be reminded of that power. Years ago, I read a story about two major league pitchers from the 1980s. And I was corrected after the first service, and you'll understand why when I mention their names. One of them was Roger Clemens, and I guess he lives in Katy. I did not know that. Roger Clemens pitched for a lot of different teams, and he pitched in the American League. The other pitcher is Dwight Gooden. He pitched for the Mets in the National League. And these two pitchers were probably the best pitchers in the mid-1980s. And there was one time where they faced each other. I think it was an All-Star game or the World Series that year. And the game was being played in the National League Park. And so Roger Clemens, who pitched in the American League and never had to bat, had to bat. And he just happened to face Dwight Gooden. And so Dwight Gooden, and this was before he got in trouble, Dwight Gooden reeled back and threw a fastball right down the middle of the plate. And Clemens supposedly turned around to the catcher and to the umpire and said, "Is that what it looks like?" Because he hadn't seen it. And, you know, he's the Rocket. That was his nickname. And he probably threw faster than Dwight Gooden. But he didn't realize just what he was hurling off the mound. I think he was right-handed. Sorry. We don't always remember just what we're throwing at people when we preach the gospel. Power of the Holy Spirit, right? To create life from the dead. The power of the Holy Spirit to turn an enemy of God into a child of God. The power of the Holy Spirit that has been showered on each and every one of us. That's what we carry into the world every day of our life. And we need it because it is Pentecost. Today is Pentecost. Every day is Pentecost. And we need those reminders of Jesus. And we need to know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit standing behind us, working through us as we preach the gospel. On this Pentecost Sunday, may God the Holy Spirit remind us of those truths. May God the Holy Spirit encourage us to go out with that message. And may God the Holy Spirit work powerfully through the proclamation of the gospel. In Jesus' name.